So the most common way to estimate liquidity risk is a cash flow forecast, where we actually determine or estimate the money that's going to come into the credit union, the money that's going to leave the credit union in a future period, and then look, figure a net. And most of us work on the net. Here's kind of the steps. You need to start somewhere. Usually you would start with a recent quarter close or monthly close. Determine what period you're going to cover. The most critical period is the first 30 days. Some large institutions do daily cash flow, and some do intraday cash flow. For most of you, probably monthly cash flow will cover most of your needs. You need to estimate the cash going in and out of the credit union and convert that impact on your cash flow. So we're talking about things like, are loans going to increase or decrease? What is loan demand going to be like? Are we going to make more loans than we then pay off? Or are we going to see our loan portfolio contract? We need to consider commitments we've made off the balance sheet, if those are called on us. And we suggest that you look at your investment portfolio as the way that you're going to cover cash flow shortfalls. So cash flow statements or estimates are not rocket science. There's something that's taught in every, or I can't say that because I'm not familiar with them, but almost all university-level accounting programs teach cash flow statements, both historical and future cash flow forecasts. It's not nearly as complex as estimating interest rate risk, for example. It's something that you can do yourself if you are an accountant or a finance person. Estimating cash flows in the future is relatively straightforward. You can do it on a spreadsheet like Excel or whatever spreadsheet suits your fancy. And there's just a couple of simple principles that we need to learn. The first one is when you make a loan, cash goes out. That makes all the sense in the world. When you make a loan, you're going to have to give cash to the borrower. Member comes in, borrows $50,000 for a new pickup truck, you're going to see $50,000 going out of the credit union. If that member comes back later on and repays that loan and the balance is, say, down to 40, the member's going to give you cash. So when loans are paid off, cash comes in, and typically cash going out is in red with brackets around it, or at least with brackets around it. And cash coming in has no brackets, so positive cash flow, and the example I'm going to show you, is black with no brackets. Negative cash flow is red with brackets around it. You can do it any way you want. We have exactly the opposite impact with shares. When a member makes a deposit, cash comes in, no brackets, a member comes in, deposits $10,000 into their money market account, there's $10,000. That you can now do something with, either make an investment or make a loan. But when members withdraw, that's a demand on your cash, a demand and that type of thing. So member withdrawals are cash going out, so they're bracketed with usually in red in the case of our example. When members deposit, then that's a positive cash flow. And so basically, if we have a loan balance of $111,141,000, estimated net monthly change on a cash basis could be -$226,000. And the question is, did loans increase or decrease? And in this case, loans increased. Loans increased from 331 of that year until now because cash net loans went out the door. And we had a net cash outflow of loans. That means that the loan had increased during that period of time. You made more loans than paid off. It's kind of problematical to grasp, but if you think through it from the basics, it usually comes. So here's an example of a cash flow analysis. It's in two parts. The first part is the operations side of the credit union. Let me get my pen here. We're going to go through this. We have lending activities and we have deposit activities. And I, I've highlighted them and called these the operational aspects of your cash flow statement, because that's what the credit union does. You take in deposits and make loans. And that's your basic activity, is providing deposit opportunities for your members and taking that money and making loans with it. So as to how you break these down by shares and loans, that's up to you. I would start with very large groups, maybe total loans, and say, well, are loans going to increase or decreasing over the next 30 days? Or you can break it down. In this case, we've broken it down into five different groups of loans. So you're going to have to make an estimate about the activities in those loan accounts. Same with deposits and shares. We've broken it down into kind of a traditional matrix of shares, checking, money markets, CDs, and that type of thing. This is just an example. You can do this any way you want. I've seen cash flow statements that are very detailed, and I've seen those that are very consolidated, which is loans, or maybe consumer loans and mortgage loans. After you make that decision, obviously you have to start someplace, as we mentioned. So in this case, the date was June 30th of 10. You can tell I've been using this example for a while. Now, next column, and this is just an Excel spreadsheet, we have to decide how we're going to estimate the growth of growth or lack of growth in each of these components in our balance sheet. If it's something that can be boiled down to a formula that we can write into Excel, that's great. And sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. The first impulse is to look at historical activities and say, hey, you know, we grew 10% last year, so we'll just assume we're going to grow 10% this year. Very, very common mistake. In this case right here, we're saying the 2.5%. We're saying that the annualized growth of new car loans is going to be 2.5%. Then we can write that formula in here and actually have the spreadsheet work it out. This is loan growth, so negative numbers, right? Loans are growing, cash is going out the door. More cash is going out that's coming in. Next column down, we have zero. This means cash going out is going to equal cash coming in. We're not growing the loans, but they're not running off either. We have loans paying off when we're lending out the loans. We're lending out and replacing the loans that are being paid off. But it's a negative impact, or it's a zero or neutral impact on our balance sheet or on our forecasted cash flows. Now, all of these, in this case, I should have made an example of one of these. Sometimes you can't write a formula. For example, if you're an agricultural credit union, some of you are, you may see loan growth go way up in the spring and loan repayments come way back in the fall. You're just going to have to do that manually. There's just no way to do it. You can look at historical patterns in the past if you want to, but in the end, you just may have to fill in some of these cells over here. Now, what's the very most important component here? And I'm just going to tell you right off the hand, it's the first 30 days. In this case, the month of July is the most important part of this, 30 days. The reason 30 days is most important is liquidity events tend to be fairly short-lived, and if you can get through the first 30 days, you're probably going to be able to figure something out and live, is what it boils down to. So even though this goes out for a full year, the most important period is the first 30 days. Down here, off to the lower left-hand corner of the screen here, we net cash flows from off-balance sheet items. These could be in the credit union world, lines of credit, home equity lines. Now, I put in a negative $1 million here. Could be a number of things. I just wanted to illustrate that if you have off-balance sheet potential demands for funding, it could show up someday. And you can see that that has a pretty good impact here. And so the bottom line here is net cash flow from operations. And you can see here that we've got a negative cash flow from lending and a negative cash flow from deposits as well. Deposits are running off a little bit. Lending is expanding a little bit. So we have a net negative cash flow. In the first period, we have a net negative cash flow of $737. And for the year, we have a net negative cash flow over here in the lower right-hand corner, $9.8 million. Okay. I loaded this up to illustrate a negative cash flow. I realize this isn't typical, but I had to illustrate a negative cash flow because credit unions are so liquid right now that if I didn't do this, it would just be a totally meaningless exercise. So that is the operations part of the cash flow statement. The credit union makes loans, and it makes those loans with deposits. And so we've calculated our net cash flow from operations. So let's go on to the next page. Okay, now we have that net cash flow from operations carrying down. This is the next page. There's that number. Now, remember I said earlier that we were going to take the investment portfolio and use that as our primary funding source for shortfalls. Well, we've got a pretty good shortfall here. $737,000 the first 3 months. Then we hit that month right here where we have that off balance sheet number. So we got $9.8 million for the year. Our investment portfolio, we have overnight cash of 5.2. Investment certificates, we have 3 million, but only 100,000 matures in the next 30 days. And then we have mortgage-backed securities that aren't maturing at all. And these are pretty odd mortgage-backed securities because there's no cash, there's no principal being paid back at this point in time. So I need to make some adjustments on this example. But in the end, we have in month one, $5.3 million of available cash to cover less than a million, about 0.73 million. So we're doing really good. We have cover all that. We got 4.8 million left over. And we're going to assume that that stays in short-term deposits. If during that first month you take this money up here and start making longer-term investments, you're going to have to redo your cash flow statement. It's okay if you do that, but just recognize this assumption on this cash flow statement is that the short-term funding will stay in place as you use it up. So basically, the next month in August, we have another negative $637,000. I was wrong up here. It's not a negative. We have it's a negative 737 up here, and we have 100, so nets out of 637. But we still here, we're living off of that short-term overnight cash account. Okay, when we get over to here, mid-page, we're down to $656,000 in funding. Now, one of the purposes of this cash flow, and let me get rid of some of these scribbles here, is that we identify this here in time to do something about it. We don't want to get here, right here, and be looking at here and here. I mean, holy cow, we got a problem coming up. We want to identify that problem clear back here. And if we identify this problem out here, that's 6 months away, now we have plenty of time to deal with this. Okay, so we get out here and we say, well, we get down here to, this is the contingency funding part of our cash flow. We have various funding options. I've just listed some. You may have others that you may choose to use. You may say, well, hey, if we're looking at this, we'll have a share sale. We'll raise our rates and have a CD sale, and that'll work. Or we'll raise our money market shares, and we'll do a segmentation strategy and raise some money. It doesn't matter how you solve this problem over here. It doesn't have to be one of these options. It can be any option that's viable for you. In this case, I said, we'll just choose to raise some broker CDs. A total of 3.1 million approximately. That's how we're going to do this. You could have done any of these things. You could have sold some of those mortgage backs if you choose to. You could have drawn on your secured and committed line of credit. You could have repoed those mortgage backs. Maybe you can early redeem some of the CDs. That may or may not be feasible. But you have all kinds of options. The whole goal of this exercise is to look at this out in front far enough that you have plenty of time to exercise your options and resolve those potential cash, negative cash flows.